Well, I just want to read to you just a few verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Well, folks, I'm always very interested in success stories. And if ever you see a title of a book that says "The Secret to Whatever," then I sort of get hooked. And I don't know if you're like that. If you see something that's a secret to something, I'm interested in that. When Jesus was on the cross, there was a man to his right and a man to his left. One of those two men was to go to paradise. But one of them was to miss it. Now, many people speak on how the man got to paradise. But this evening, I want to look at what were the secrets to the man who blew it. He was so close, but he was so far. And as you listen to his language and how he reasons, you find the secrets to why it was he made such a catastrophe, such a disastrous decision in his life, and he never was right with his Maker. Now, the first thing I want to say to you is this. From his words, he didn't really appreciate who Jesus was. Because he said to Jesus Christ, "If you are the Son of God," or "if you are the Christ." Now, of course, if you use the little word "if," you know, if you are the person in charge, it actually means, you know, there's a doubt. And from that little bit of his statement, inside, he doesn't realize who Jesus Christ is. Now, I wonder tonight if you realise who that voice was in Hillsborough speaking to Billy, and later on through his word in the church. Because he didn't. He was close. His life was being lost. He had moments to go. And yet, his reasoning was, "If you are the Christ." He wasn't certain. And folks, I want to ask you this evening, who do you think Jesus Christ is? I'm not asking you about the church. I'm not asking you about what you might perceive to be religion. I'm asking you about the penniless carpenter from Nazareth who's had such a massive impact in this world. Who is Jesus Christ? You might say he's a great moral teacher. He was. But he was more than that. You might find that he's a fine example to follow. He is and he was. But he's more than that. You might find he's a deluded Jew or something worse. Who is this person called Jesus Christ? Because this man said, "If you are the Christ." Well, first of all, I want you to get he is a fact in history. Rylands University, Manchester, used to have a lecturer there called F.F. Bruce, historian, and this is what he wrote. "Some writers may toil with the idea of a Christ myth. They do not do so on the grounds of historical evidence." In other words, the history department is not saying that Jesus didn't exist. He did. And then if you look down the course of history, not even into the Christian writing, for example, Flavius Josephus, commander of the Jewish forces in Galilee AD 66. Now, it was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, He was a doer of wonderful works, and when Pilate had condemned him to the cross, he was seen alive again the third day by many who loved him. So history says he came, and the historian writers says he came. But what did Jesus say about himself, this person who walks across the pages of history? Well, his words give it away. He said, "I am the light of the world. If anybody follows me, he shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man will come to the Father except by me." He said, "I am the door. If anybody wants to enter in, they must do so by me, and they will be saved." He said, "I and the Father are one. If anybody has seen me, has seen the Father also. And I have come that you may have life, and life in all of its fullness." You see, folks, he's not claiming to be a human being here, is he? I mean, to say that you are the sum total of truth is pretty arrogant or correct. And folks, as you look at his life, his words declare he's somebody extremely special. But then his works. Here is a man who could say to the lepers, "I am willing, be clean." And he was willing to touch them. Here is a man who gave legs to the lame. Remember the man who came through the roof? And he was sick, well, he was paralyzed, and Jesus said, "Stand up, take up your mat, and go your way." And the man before the crowd stood up, took his mat, and went his way. He had power over sickness. He could give sight to the blind. "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," and he came back seeing. He was willing to deal with the outcast. But not only power over sickness, folks, he had power over the elements. Remember at school you learned about King Canute? Well, folks, Jesus Christ, in a boat, in a storm, surrounded by his petrified disciples, turned to the wind and the waves, and he said, "Peace, be still." And they said, "What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You see, folks, nobody ordinary was walking on planet Earth. He had power over sickness, he had power over the elements, but more than that, he had power over death. He went to a bedroom of a 12-year-old girl, and he said, "Little girl," she died, "little girl, I say to you, arise." He went to the tomb of a friend called Lazarus in John 11, and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And the one who was dead came out bound, hands and foot. Folks, he had power over sickness, he had power over the elements, he had power over death. Do you know why? God had become a man. Many years ago, Peter the Tsar of Russia wanted to know what it was like to be poverty stricken. So he got some scruffy clothes on and he went downtown, and for a couple of days he was going to live as a peasant. And on one occasion he knocked at somebody's door asking for bread, and they turned him away, but the two men behind the door said this: "Though that man is dressed in rags, he has the voice of majesty." Folks, though Jesus Christ probably look very ordinary, he has the voice of majesty. He can raise the dead. And then what about the people who work with him and move with him? Surely, what would they say about him? Now, this is not to quote one of his friends. These are his enemies. Judas, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Pilate, "I find no fault with this innocent man." Pilate's wife, "Have nothing to do with this innocent man. I've suffered much in a dream because in this night." The soldier was to thrust the spear through his side on the cross. "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Nicodemus, not yet a Christian, who said, "We know you are a teacher come from God, for nobody can do the signs that you're doing unless God is with thee." And then the Jews declared in John 6, "For good works we do not stone you, but you, a mere man, make yourself equal with God." You see, Jesus does not give you the option of thinking he's a good teacher, a moral example. He says he's God in the skin. And the man on the cross said, "If." And unless you understand who Jesus Christ is, folks, you never get right with your Maker. You'll never find the peace that you're looking for in life. So, first of all, he didn't appreciate who Christ was. And then secondly, he didn't appreciate or understand what he'd come to do. You see, folks, what is God like? Well, God has got many characters. If I said to you, what are you like? Somebody would say, well, you know, the this and the this and this. Well, you can do that with God. God is love, the Bible says. So God loves you. God loves me. And God demonstrates his love in that while we're sinners, he still loves us and Christ died for us. But he's not just God is love. God is holy. And God is just. I mean, what would you think tonight if we all agreed to let every prisoner, there's 82,000 of them, out of prison? Because we all decide we love prisoners. So let them out. You know? So we go to, you know, whichever prisoner it is, and we say, out you go. We love you. Out you go. Though I was reading recently of one fella, and he was escaping from a Swansea prison. Fascinating how he got out. Listen to this. A lorry pulled up one day with some goods, and he ran during his break time, and he dived onto the axle. And he was under, clinging on for his life, dressed in his uniform or whatever they give them in prison. And it carted off through the gate. Well, it went hurtling down the road. Do you know where it stopped? Cardiff Prison. How would he explain that? But that's what happened, folks. You see, if we said to all the prisoners tonight, oh, let them out, let them out. Because we love them. What would the families of their victims think? You see, you've got to have love, but you've got to have justice. If you take your car for an MOT and they say, I'm sorry, Mrs. Smith, it's failed on the emissions, you can't say, well, it's wipers work. Oh, right, then we'll pass you. Okay, that's fine. They're not going to do that, are they? And folks, it's the same with God. God is love, God is holy, God is just. And listen, God must punish sin. And when that man said, if you are the Christ, he then said, save yourself and us. Do you know Jesus Christ was once asked to do something he couldn't do? This was it. Save yourself and us. Do you know why? Because if he saves himself, then there is no God-man to die for sin on the cross. But if he just saves us, but he doesn't die, then without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness for sin. So there's no sacrifice for sin at the cross. So when this man said, save yourself and us, it was a nice sentiment. But it just doesn't work. Because the judge of heaven, the God who loves you and the God who loves me, also must punish our sins. And he'll either punish you for your sins, or you allow him to punish somebody else. Billy Graham is a nationally known evangelist. He's probably about 100 years old, and I'm sure Billy is certainly to leave planet Earth soon. But in his heyday, he was a very, very fiery preacher across Britain. Well, I was hearing a story that recently he was driving through the USA about 20 years ago, and he was going far too fast. And the policeman stopped him. It's not a red light. I think it's a blue light, or it's not a blue light, it's a red light over there. Where's Brandon? I don't know what colour the lights are. What colour lights do you have in your cop cars?
Blue.
It's a blue light. So he was stopped. And he said, do you know how fast you were going? And he said, well, the equivalent of 80 miles an hour, which was far too fast. And then the policeman stopped. He said, are you Billy Graham? And at that point, Billy smiled. He said, yes, I am. And he said, I became a Christian through you. Oh, where was it? Said Billy. Well, chatting away to him, you know, soften the guy up. And he said, well, it was so-and-so. Now, what speed were you going? He said, Mr. Graham, you'll have to come down to the station. He said, I long to let you off, but I can't let you off because the law says you must be punished. He went down to the station, and Billy went for his wallet. He said, just a minute, I'm paying for this. And the policeman paid Billy Graham's fine. You see, God must punish sin. But God loves the sinner. And this man said, if you are the Christ, I'm not sure. But then he said, save yourself and us. And God was saying, I can't do that. And Jesus says, I'll take the punishment for our sins. God loves you and me. And folks, he didn't realize who Christ was. Secondly, he didn't realize what Christ was doing on that cross, paying for your sin. But lastly, he did not realize his chance of becoming a Christian was slipping away. When the soldiers came to Jesus at the cross, it said they came to break the legs. But when they came to Jesus, he was dead already. So they broke the legs of the first and the second thief. So they must have been alive. But Jesus had died already. What if the thief there wanted to ask Jesus Christ to forgive them? He never had got a response, would he? Because he was dead already. And that thief did not know when Jesus was going to go. In other words, the door was shutting. And folks, tonight, over the last few weeks, we've had a great time listening to different stories. But the heartbeat of this church and the different churches around Staffordshire who are putting these events on is that you will come to know who Jesus is and accept him as your Lord and your Saviour. And here is your massive opportunity right now. Now don't blow it, will you? God loved you. And hanging on the cross of Calvary, he was saying, I'll forgive you, I'll cleanse you, I'll wash you, I'll acquit you in the courts of heaven. You will never spend one day in hell if you receive Christ now. And he offers the gift of eternal life. He said, will you receive it? When I was 19, my sister said to me, Vinny, it's a gift. And I couldn't believe it was a gift. I thought it was too good to be true. She said, Vinny, it's a gift, the gift of God's eternal life. And folks, a gift is on offer. And Jesus is saying, will you receive me as your Lord and your Saviour tonight? Billy wasn't looking for the gift, but it found him. But tonight you might be searching. Did you read yesterday in the newspaper the fella who was bought a 5,000-piece jigsaw down there in Somerset? And for 7.5 years he'd been doing a jigsaw. It was 5 foot wide. And he's completed it and he's got one piece missing. He said, I think the dog has eaten it. And folks, it's a bit like that in our lives. We've got it all together, but there's just something that doesn't click. Do you know what that missing piece is? Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Saviour. And he's on offer tonight. And he says to you, repent from your sins. That means confess that you're wrong and leave your sins. Leave a life without him. And come and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me and cleanse me and be my Saviour. Do you know this man? He blew it because he didn't pray. But his mate did, because his mate said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And so folks, tonight I'm going to give you every opportunity. Will you ask him to be your Saviour? To cleanse you from all your sins? To take your guilt and wash it away so he's able to present you faultless before his Father which is in heaven? Will you do that? You say, what do I have to do? What you've got to do, folks, is admit you're wrong. Repent from your sins. That means with God giving you the strength to live a life without Christ. And by faith, invite him to come and live in your heart. And you know, the power of the Holy Spirit will come into your life and you'll be transformed. And Jesus says, would you like that? Because the risen Jesus has conquered death. I am the resurrection and the life. Anybody who believes in me, though he dies, shall live. Would you like him to be your resurrection and your life? Well, he's on offer tonight, folks. Now, this is what I'd like you to do. At the end, I'm giving away a little booklet called Trust in Christ. And I'm giving that to anybody who's serious about these things. And if you ask for this booklet, I'll just get somebody maybe from the church here. If it's a lady, I'll get a lady and a gentleman. Just to take you through that booklet for a few minutes to help you to know what it is to make your personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And I'll also give you a Gospel of John. And this is given away because it says in here, these things are written that you might know Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. So if you'd like to be a real Christian tonight, you've heard the stories, you've seen maybe a Christian at work or at school or college or wherever you are, and you thought there's something different about those guys, I want that peace. Well, folks, it's on offer for you tonight. Now, if you miss out tonight, what you're doing is you're going out into the world of noise and interest and other attraction. While you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And say, tonight is the night I got right with you. So if that will help you folks at the end, trust in Christ, blue booklet, and the Gospel of John. Nobody will embarrass you. If you've got questions, please ask. If you want to meet Billy, please do so. And have a nice chat with Billy again. But thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. We'll have a short prayer and I'll hand back to Brandon. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there are many characters down the course of history, but there's nobody to compare with your Son. Thank you that he came, that he loved us, and on the cross he took our sins in his body on the tree. And thank you that he's risen in the power of an endless life. Help me to find him. Help me to really, really experience his risen power. In Jesus' name, amen.